Today's program was brought to you by the Wisconsin Cheese Cupid Pairing App, available on Android and Apple devices.
This is Michael Harlan Turkel, host of The Food Scene. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Love Bites, where dining and dating collide, coming at you live from Heritage Radio Network in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Today is Monday, January 18th. I'm one of your hosts, Jacqueline Raposo. I write about people who make food. You can find my work and me as wordsfoodart.com. I'm 34, straight and single.
And I am your other host, Ben Rosenblatt. I am an actor, writer, musician, an occasional bartender and server. You can check me out at benrosenblattactor.com. I am 33, straight and still single.
If you tuned in last week, you caught the first part of our Why We Didn't Work experiment, where Ben talked through correspondence with two of his exes under the guidance of therapist Vienna Farron. Today, it's my turn.
Oh, look out.
I'm back in the hot seat and not sure how I feel about that yet. In a few minutes, we're going to welcome Diana Gasparoni, the founder of Be Her Now here in New York. So last week, Ben and Vienna went through the sources of patterns in relationships and how we can best create an honest space in them. And today we're going to talk less about communication in relationships as I had planned and more about, I don't know, how would you say what we're going to talk about?
We're going to talk about your damage, girl.
About my damage.
Not your damage.
About my damage.
About, you know, what you can be working on in
relationships. Yeah, I feel like communication has actually been not my problem. Maybe I'm using... We're going to get to that. I'm not going to make excuses for myself already before we get into it.
You'll be doing plenty of that later.
I know. All right. So, but before we get to Diana, Ben, let's talk about last week. What is your greatest takeaway from your very vulnerable, raw, and on-the-air session with Vienna?
I had so many takeaways from it. A few. One is that just how much fun I had doing it in spite of the fact that it was vulnerable and open and, you know, a little bit... I was disconcerted with some of the discoveries that I made within myself. I so value that type of examination, and I enjoy so thoroughly the study of human behavior, and I find people and all of our, you know, unique neuroses to be so fascinating.
Great.
And so I had such a good time just getting to do that, and I look forward to doing more of that with you today. Another takeaway I have is that I found myself being really hard on myself during the talk I had with Vienna for, you know, some of the things we discussed and about, you know, for the environment in the relationship that I had contributed in to make, and also just like realizing that since that day, thinking about the fact that there were other whole human beings involved in those relationships that were bringing their own, you know, lifelong behavioral patterns and, you know, family dynamics to the ball game as well.
So do you feel like you're going to be a little less hard on yourself in the future?
Probably not.
You do beat yourself down a lot for things out of your control.
Yeah, I mean, that is something I definitely need to work on as a person, and I am working on it in my own ways. I'm working on, you know, allowing myself to at least experience some blame toward other people or some negative feelings toward other people, which, you know, I typically tend to, you know, push all that away and blame myself for everything. So, you know, we'll see if I can get there.
Do you feel like you talked a lot on the show last week about, in a way, putting the relationship, especially the second one, sort of on a pedestal, and that person on a pedestal, and how you both sort of did that. Like, you were preserving the relationship so much that maybe it was a lot more, a lot less crystalline in its perfection. Do you think that you're going to be able to look at the next person you date with a little bit more honesty because of that? That you're not going to sort of strive for...
It's hard. I mean, one of the things that I struggle with is that this came up a little bit on the show last week, but I struggle with... I mean, I, of course, want this amazing, passionate, beautiful relationship. This, like, you know, I have this fantasy of... like the great love that I am going to find and that I want for myself. And so for me, sometimes that requires putting someone up on a little bit of a pedestal so that I can feel like it's the relationship that is going to be the lasting one that I'm not going to run away from. And when I don't feel that way about someone, then I tend to not stick around, or I don't even engage in it.
Right.
So like, there's this weird dynamic here of like, how do I allow myself to actually enter into a relationship without in some way, giving them status in that way.
Right. Well, I'm sure we'll continue talking about that.
And then the last and probably the most significant takeaway I have is the family dynamics that came up. And I had a conversation with my mom actually about the conversation I had with Vienna, and she told me this fact that struck me, that she tried so hard during my parents' divorce to not show me how she was feeling about it and not burden me with her feelings. And it was interesting because I was talking about how I didn't want to burden her with my feelings. And though, of course, you know, being in the house with my mom all the time, and she was going through such intense, like, deep, visceral, I was describing to you before the show this memory I have of like seeing my mom cry with this like intense, visceral, like I was like I could physically feel the vibration of the sound of her tears, of her weeping.
Yeah.
And the effect that had on me. And so I wonder if in some way her trying to hide her sadness or her grief from me was a little bit of that I learned to do that in relationships myself. If I learned, okay, well, maybe I can't show this to everyone. And then at the same time, I also thought that had she decided that she could talk to me about all these things and really share all her grief with me, like, that would probably fuck me up in the other direction, you know? So it's just I don't know, everyone is screwed up and we all need a brilliant therapist in our lives, which I think brings us to the next part of our episode here.
Some of the things you said, when you want this passionate, if it's not this passionate, most brilliant thing, you don't want it, and everybody's screwed up. Like, I'm the opposite. So this does bring us into I feel sort of the opposite. I'm excited about the quiet, simple commitment part of a relationship and the long years of supporting each other part of the relationship. And I don't have as much insane, wonderful passion in my life. So I think this will be an interesting show to maybe find out why that is. So let us bring in Diana. Diana Gasparoni is the founder and a therapist with Be Her, a group of therapists and life coaches who help women become their most authentic, powerful selves. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology from Salem State College, a master's in social work from NYU, has completed programs at the Center for Modern Psychoanalysis and the Center for Group Studies, and is a longtime yoga teacher and student. The mission of Be Her is to inspire lives that are big, full, and unapologetically real. I love that. You can find Diana at beher-now.com, on Twitter as Diana M. Tweets, and on Instagram and Facebook as Diana Gasparoni. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Why, thank you.
So I guess to start off, so I sent to remind our listeners for our Why We Didn't Work series, Ben and I each sent a series of our exes 5 questions. Why did we break up? Why didn't we work over the course of our relationship? Why did we work over the course of our relationship? When you think of me now, what do you think of? And do you have any regrets? I sent this to 5 gentlemen. 4 of them responded very lovingly. So I first want to say thank you to them for trusting me with this information and giving me permission to use it. And I hope to be respectful and loving with your answers. So I've just given them numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. Diana has had the 10 pages of correspondence, which have my answers to those questions for each of them as well. So we have novels of email gushing on both sides. I was not personally surprised by much in the correspondence that I got from them. I thought maybe I'd have some eye-opening ahas about things. And I didn't really. And I found myself even more in love with these 4 men who I'm still friends with in different respects. So I guess my first question, Diana, is what is the biggest, like, thing you noticed or the biggest through line. We're going to, you know, focus on the specifics here and then see how they extend to relationships in general. So what would you say is the biggest thing you noticed from this course, from the correspondence?
The biggest thing I noticed is that you have very loving and warm endings, and that your relationships end very amicably. They're maturely ending, but they end.
Right. They've all ended.
They're still single. Yes. So, yeah, I'll get this right.
Yeah, even closer. Just get
even closer.
There you go.
There I am. Okay.
There you go.
There's the men that you've dated. The things that I noticed the most about the men that you've dated is that they seem to be very communicable. They're connected emotionally. You're able to talk to them. And they're all very loving and warm. But it is that the relationships end, that they are, there's a lot of passion in some towards the end. The last two had a lot of passion. The first one made complete sense to me. It was a long-term relationship when you were young. You started when you were young. You moved through all of the stages of a relationship. You ended very quietly and lovingly. You remained friends. My question, that the notes that I took in that one would be, if that were to happen again and you were in a long-term relationship, how do you grow together inside the relationship? How do you allow room for that sort of growth and still stay in the container of the relationship?
Yes, let's definitely talk about that, because that's one thing we've talked about a little bit before the show, that was, in my opinion, I think a big conflict in that relationship, because we started dating when I was 19, I believe, and I felt very much like we nurtured, it was a 10-year relationship, so we nurtured it for a very long time, but didn't really let ourselves or each other grow as individuals. And so how does that, I mean, we were, and I used the excuse in a way that we were young, but you have pointed out already that, like, some people get married at 19 and spend the rest of their lives together, so it really, you know, it's just that circumstances are what they are. But how do you, especially as time goes on, that's by far the longest relationship I've had, you know, how do you grow as individuals if, you know, you have conflict and you're so wanting to make sure the relationship stays true that you take care of it more than you maybe take care of yourselves?
Well, one of the key words that you just use is that you have conflict. So in the relationship, there'll be conflict. What I do notice that in your first relationship, there isn't a lot of conflict. There's a lot of nurturing the relationship. It's very loving. No one fights with you, which I find interesting in most of them. But I think you probably did have some.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we fought. He told me, I remember him saying very expressly, "You've got a lot of fight in you, Raposo." And I was like, "What? What are you talking about?
What are you
I don't
talking
have
about?
Fight in me."
But yeah. when you decide early on at 19 what your goals are for your lives and what your goals are for your relationship and where you're going to go, at some point you sort of reflect back and you say, oh, this isn't really working for me anymore. I want to do X and he might want to do Y. But do you stay in, you allow yourselves to stay inside the container of the relationship, separate, and then come back together.
How do you do that? What do you mean by separate and then come back together?
By separate, I mean you can have like an emotional separation. Just sort of like sometimes when people are fighting or people aren't getting along or they're growing in different ways, I recommend that you have an emotional divorce inside your relationship, but that you stay inside the container. And then you allow yourselves to come back. You have new language. You've explored something new. You don't leave the relationship. And then you start to talk to each other in a new way. And you are, like, you're strong in who you are and what you've decided to do, but you've decided to find a way to keep the relationship moving and having your individual relationships with yourselves.
Diana, can you be a little more specific about what the divorce within the emotional divorce within a relationship actually looks like?
What it would look like? Oftentimes we spend a lot of time talking about the relationship and what are we going to do, and it becomes about this knot inside the relationship, and we're fighting about something that has nothing to do actually with the way, like, you're getting along. There may be nothing wrong with your relationship, but like, you're putting everything in your life on this union. So maybe it's your career is doing something and you want to move in a different direction in your career, or you want to move in a different direction in your career. And then you come together and it becomes about the relationship. So you just stop. You just take that separation and you nurture yourself and you nurture your own feelings. And then you find new language, and then you can come back and you come back together and you're like, okay, we're going to talk about our relationship in a different way. We're going to look at it. These are our new goals. These are my new goals. These are my new goals. Let's rework the goals for the relationship so that you don't have to leave, but you're just separate, and then you can come back together.
Gotcha. That would have been definitely helpful to figure out during the years of mm-hmm. loving each other, but not knowing how to sort of navigate that. Neither of us, I don't think, as far as I remember, like had therapy back then to sort of figure out what that kind of communication could be.
Right.
So I like to hope that the next time I'm in yes. that situation that I'll have more tools to, and mm-hmm. the other person might have more tools.
And also, too, we don't think like when we're 19, 22, 24 right. that, oh, let's go find a couples therapist right. or let's go find a therapist who's going to help us. So we're supposed to know how to do this. This is something like, but if we didn't have that mirror or the model of your parents that showed you exactly how to communicate or what you needed to do, then you might need an intervention from right. somebody else.
So fast forward a number of years, and I feel like I have a lot of tools.
You do.
And we talked before the show and sort of got to a place where the antithesis of all this loving communication with these four relationships mm-hmm. is the fact that like they have ended, and that there is no there's no fireworks at the ending of them. They're all very amicable and loving, and like I said, I'm friends with the four of them. I'm friends with the four of them still. So we talked about how I maybe tend to date men who are strategically available emotionally, that they have this vocabulary. But that maybe there's a lack of practical honesty about it, like especially with the fourth relationship. It was a short yeah. relationship, and I broke things off.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that there was a lot of emotional honesty. But do you, in the other chair, think that there was maybe the best kind of emotional honesty? Because... yeah, I've got a lot of tools. I do yoga and meditation and gratitude, and I sort of, everything is okay. And I'm learning today already that maybe that's not always the best thing. Well,
right. So one of the things that I was curious about and that we talked about is, where is your fight for the relationship? And that if you're very kindly, if this isn't working for him and things aren't going that way and maybe he needs something else, you're like, okay, maybe that's okay. You go do you. You're gonna be fine. We'll be good. And you can rationalize.
Right.
We can rationalize ourselves out of anything.
Right.
Right? Or we can rationalize ourselves into something. But where is the emotional spark? And in the yogic lifestyle, as you just brought up, sure, we have all the tools to balance it out. Like, we can find the negative and the positive, and then we can sit and we can meditate and we can make it all work and it's all good. But that, you do that alone.
Right.
Right. So allowing for that conflict and then allowing yourself to say, oh, shit, wait, maybe I don't want him to leave. And how do I talk about that? Like, how do I talk about your negative feelings about him leaving?
Right.
Yeah. No one wants to be left.
Right.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
So how do you talk about those negative? What would your advice be to Jacqueline to say, okay, maybe she does have some trouble talking about them or doesn't feel like she needs to, like how can she talk about them?
Well, I want you to fight for you in the relationship.
Yeah, it's funny because for the fourth, which again was like short, it was only 2 months, like mm-hmm. So the question of, do you have any regrets? I'm gonna look and see if he had any regrets, but like I did say flat out, I regret that he didn't fight a little bit mm-hmm. for it. Like when I very, you know, amicably broke up because he didn't seem to have the emotional ability to be in a relationship with somebody new. He had a lot to sort of get over for himself. So, all right. So I'm reading now. He said, no, I have no regrets. I loved our time together. I have a nagging feeling that we were a butterfly flap away from being so good together. And I said, honestly, I regret that you didn't fight for me a bit. That says a lot, though, and I guess it affirms why I was probably right to end things. But one thing that Ben and I had talked about afterwards is that, like, maybe I didn't fight enough while I was in it to mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know how to...
So 2 months.
Yes, not a lot of time. You're still getting to know each other.
Right.
Right.
You're still, like, right at the beginning, and he feels that there's, like, may have been a little bit of a spark, like a, mm-hmm. what did you say, a butterfly?
A butterfly flap from being really good together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, it's hard to say, right, when we go back and we look at things that are only, like, 12 weeks long. But why not stick it out?
Honestly, now I don't. I think it's because, like, I mean, how much do you, at the time it felt like a very empower thing, and very empowering thing to be like, this Absolutely. Person has gone through a divorce and a lot of loss, and mm-hmm. he's not making room for me practically in his schedule. It was because right. literally at the time I wasn't going to see him for 3 weeks because he had a lot of work and then was leaving the mm-hmm. country for his work. And he wasn't even going to let me come over at 10 o'clock at night to climb into bed with him. On his side, because he's like, that wouldn't be enough for you. That's not fair. And on my side, I was like, no, that would be enough just to get to see you. Mm-hmm. So that was the practical thing of just realizing this person, I don't think has enough emotional space to for me.
Right.
So it felt very empowering to be mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm going to be waiting for somebody to be emotionally ready for something. I want to know that he's going to have the capacity to be in a relationship with me at some point, not right now, but at some point. And I didn't feel that. So at the time, it felt empowering. But I also, later, I was like, but maybe I just walked away from somebody who made me feel so good in so many ways, in ways that were unexpected, in ways that I really needed, in ways that felt very, spiritual is not the right word, but felt very, like, in mm-hmm. my gut, you know, very important that I hadn't realized. And so that's where, like, it was later that I was like, maybe I didn't fight for it. But even when you and I talked about it, Ben, you know, we were, you know, he's like, no, you were right. It just wasn't, you know, so I want to talk about the parameters when we come back from a break, I think, about like how you know when it's time to move on or not.
We do need to take a quick break. And I just wanted to add one thing to this, though, before we do, which is that I know, at least from my experience, I don't know if this is true for you or not, but I think it could be true for potentially people who are listening who've maybe found themselves in a similar situation, is that I think sometimes we feel like if that fighting for something could push the other person away. And mm-hmm. so that, like, oh, well, if I'm going to show up more than they're showing up, that's going to turn them off. So I know that's something that's come up for me in the past. I don't know if that was at play or not, but there you have it.
We'll find out.
We are going to take a quick break. But first, and you will hear a little bit more from our sponsor, Wisconsin Cheese Cupid Pairing App. It's a tongue twister. First, we want to remind you, though, that you can find all of our shows here at heritageradionetwork.org, as well as on iTunes, where you can drop us a review and subscribe to our shows so that it automatically downloads to your devices. That way you always have it. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter as Love Bites Radio. And find out more about us and all of our guests at lovebitesradio.com. We will be back.
Show, you've probably used Tinder, you've probably used OkCupid, and maybe you're bored of these human dating apps. Want to play matchmaker with some more interesting couples? Food couples? Say, drinks and cheese? Well, you can now with the Wisconsin Cheese Cupid app. What beverage complements your cheese? What cheese complements your beverage? Wisconsin Cheese Cupid has the answer. Just choose beverage or cheese in need of a soulmate, and Wisconsin Cheese Cupid will do the rest. Feeling a bit adventurous? Pairing Roulette will create a random yet perfectly delicious pairing for you. So if you're sick of swiping left and right, put aside the dating struggles and make a match that'll satisfy even the loneliest of the lonely. Go to cheesecupid.com or find Cheese Cupid in the App Store. Happy matchmaking.
So we are back, continuing our discussion with Diana Gasparoni of Be Her. And I have a question, Diana, because I have felt very much about all of these breakups that they were either circumstantial and that they were very loving and that they were very supportive of, you know, of you've got to do, like you said, you've got to do what you've got to do and you've got to be there for yourself and I've got to be here for myself and we're going to continue to be friends. And they felt, on my part, emotionally, like, very calm and loving, and I felt good about myself and about the relationship afterwards. But do I leave too soon? Like, I'm sort of thinking, like, wait, if guys aren't fighting for me, is it because I'm not am I not caring enough, or can we work ourselves to a place where we just feel so like, oh, everything's okay, that, you know, we don't have the capacity to really dig in with someone? I'm starting to worry that maybe I really don't dig in as deeply as I think I do. Like, should I have stuck it out with number four a little bit longer?
Should you have stuck it out with number four a little bit longer? Well, what do you think would have happened? I mean, that would have been my question to you. Like, if you had stayed a little bit longer and it had been a little bit more uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable is a good word.
Yeah.
I think I would have been uncomfortable. Like, knowing that I was with somebody who wasn't at the time going to make space in the way that I really, like, I'm ready to make space for someone. And so I feel like it was just sort of, I feel like I had done all of this work the past couple of years, all of this work, which I'm now learning is maybe I did too much work, like, to be ready for someone. And the fact that I was really attracted to somebody who wasn't ready back, like, I think I would have been, I would have felt vulnerable and not loved as much as maybe I want to be loved.
Yeah, sometimes you may love more, and sometimes he may love more. That may be part of being in a relationship.
But I want to be loved the same amount.
Like, oh, you want it to be equal.
Yeah.
You want it to be same.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Or, like, at least close. At least, like, 65, 45, you know, like, it goes, like, back and forth a little bit. Is that, I thought that was healthy.
It is healthy. It's okay. It's sort of like the same Suka Duka thing. Like, we're going to get, everything's going to be
bad,
like,
things are good and good things are good. Yeah.
It's going to be good. It's hard to say. It sounds like for sure you weren't getting what you needed in that relationship.
And especially, I feel like, as you know, the whole thing about, you know, your experience coaching women specifically as far as not getting what you need and being afraid to vocalize it, I felt very empowered. I was vocalized it.
And
I did
you
it.
Did. And when you vocalize it and you still don't get what you want and you still don't get what you need, and you can sort of, like, see the trajectory of, like, oh, he's going to be this busy and this and this.
Especially
and this
with
and
somebody
this and
new.
This.
It didn't feel, you know, we hadn't sort of,
yeah.
If you know, we hadn't, it was okay because it was new too. It wasn't, you know, this big thing that I was letting go of. It was just letting go of the potential with someone.
So my suggestion would be that your challenge for moving forward into your next relationship, which will come soon, is that you want to allow for a little bit more discomfort. And that allow for more conflict, so that you.
No, I'm smiling because I'm trying.
A big smile came across your face.
Well, because I know that in my head, I'm like, well, if I feel discomfort, I'll just sit and meditate on it, and I'll just, like, go and hug a tree about it, and I'll talk to my dog about it, and I'll look at the sky, and it'll be. I know, Ben, we're so opposite in this way that, like, I'm trying to learn how to, you know, kind of meet in the middle a little bit more with it. I honestly did not realize until this study that maybe I've zenned my way out of romance a little bit, maybe, you know, out of the emotionally, you know, rough stuff.
Yeah. And so then you can express the discomfort, have a little conflict, see what happens, have great sex, work it out.
Luckily, the sex has never been the problem.
Right,
numbers then, 3 and 4, have, I'm winking at you.
Exactly, but have some language.
Oh, number 1 and 2.
Number 1 and 2.
No, I know. Of course, number 1 and 2. I just pick numbers, gentlemen. I love you all.
So, but allow for all of the experience, right? So
right,
that you can have more, all sorts of language around it. And, like, get what you need and be able to, like, step in and say, look, I really like you and I want this to work. So let's go. I need some stuff from you.
Right. I don't see. I'm already like, wait, but how do I go and find that now? Like, how? Like, give me a task. How do I go into that?
Oh, you want a task?
I want a task. Yeah, in it's sort
heart.
Of your
move it to the heart.
Move it to the heart.
Away from the
That reminds me of like one a college professor said my senior year of high school when he's like, here's the lessons you all need to go out into the world, and he's like, you need to think less and work less. And I was like, how the hell do you think less and work less? Like, how do I work less at getting better at something? And I feel like I'm in the same position. I mean, I've not learned a lot since 2003. So how? I mean, you're a coach.
Yeah, think less.
Think less.
Enjoy more, and allow all the feelings, all of them.
I'll just jump in with one thing really quick, you keep saying this thing like good things are good and bad things are good. And why do they have to be good? Why can't it
just
be
bad? I'm not using the right... No, it's not bad things are good and good. It's everything is okay is essentially what it is. Right. It's the yoga
sort of philosophy.
But it's
okay also to not be okay.
That's true. But the thing is, I believe that as well. But that's part of it. Like, not being... Like, things being bad is okay, too. Like, that's the whole idea. It's like, when I'm sad, I let myself be sad. I let myself be lonely. Mm-hmm. I let myself feel depressed, you know, feel sadness that I'm single or that I'm alone at the time or whatever the circumstance may be. It's not in a denial of sadness. It's just that I know that I'm going to get over it relatively soon. I know it's not forever, you know, that I'm going to be that way. It's going to be the couple of hours or days that I'm going to be sad. Hey,
which is great. You already know that there's another feeling that's going to come.
Right.
And that there's another feeling that's going to come, and it may be good or it may be bad or it could be euphoric or it could be like really terrible. But sharing that experience with another person and allowing them to be part of that experience instead of, not that you shouldn't hug the tree. You should have the moment with the tree, but you also want to share that moment with your partner.
Right. Okay. All right. I'll take down those notes and I'll give myself flashcards and I will make sure I will not do those things. I will want to, but I will not. And that's the first road to recovery.
Great.
First step on the road to recovery. Ben, so last week I got to chime in just with a general takeaway. What is about your session? What is your general takeaway about today?
It's great to be in the room and watch someone else do this kind of work. I do a lot of this work in my life. I've been seeing the same therapist I've been with for 5 years, which feels like an eternity. But I really enjoy it, and it's just really nice to like witness someone else kind of grapple with their own shit the way that I experience for myself, and it actually makes me like feel very great about humanity and about like people that we're kind of like, we've all got it.
It's like, yeah, you said at the top of the show, we all have our shit.
And yeah, I mean, I was saying actually even before we came on the air that we all have like huge, we all have patterns that have persisted in our behavior since we were like 2 years old, you know? And the more we habitually function in them, the harder they become to recognize and the harder they become to shed. And so it's really nice to actually like hear, and heartwarming to like hear you kind of like come to awareness of some of those things in yourself, and stay open to them and to, you know,
staying open is a good way to put it. 'Cause I feel like I'm a pretty happy person because of the tools that I've learned. So I think I won't be able to put this into practice until I'm in a relationship, until conflict comes in a way. Right. So that's going to be the challenge, but
also I think it's partially too about finding yourself able to be attracted to someone who presents conflict, because I think in a way too, like one of the things like that you've said that I've heard from you recently anyway is like, yeah, I like that this is so peaceful and it's so like down. It's so like, I don't know, I'm making this gesture right now, which is not
sort of
making
looks like
any
jazz
sense
hands and that you're patting like,
but yeah, that it's like, it's like, it's very soft and comfortable and that's what you're looking for in a relationship, which is great.
Because
and
I love
you
that.
Should yeah. look for that if that's what makes you feel comfortable and safe. But like, you know, that like potentially that's also not necessarily leading to something that's lasting.
Huh. All right. Well, I'll ponder that too, I guess. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Diana. I will definitely have takeaways of my own that I will be working with. And I'm sure, Ben, both of our sessions will be coming up
And I took away a lot for myself from this, actually, too, Diana. So thank you for being
here. That's how I feel about you. Yeah,
thank you so much. This has been really fun.
You want to get free therapy? Start a radio show. You want to ask your exes about why it didn't work? Start a radio show. Well, thank you so much for coming, Diana. We'll definitely keep in touch and hopefully glean more of your wisdom in the future. That is our show today. Next week, we're going to change it up a little bit and welcome some... Now I'm embarrassed that I put on the forum some love and light into the show.
Because there is love and light in this show.
No, I know, but now I'm feeling a little self-conscious about my hippy-dippy-isms of the hugging of the tree and everything is okay. Yeah. So that's what I mean by that. But in the form of pastry chef Paulette Gatto, who a couple weeks ago, she's actually one of the inspiration for this whole project when she's like, just ask. She's like, ask, you have a show. Don't ask them if they think about you. They do think about you. Like, she's very badass. She says what she's thinking.
Wait, she's the one responsible for putting us through this?
She is.
She's going to get an earful from me next week, I'll tell you.
So it'll definitely be very lively and spunky. And so make sure to come back next week for Paulette. Until then, thank you, Diana Gasparoni, of Be Here for joining us today. Thanks to our ever-amazing engineer, Liz Smith. Thanks to our sponsor, the Wisconsin Cheese Pairing Cupid app. Our theme song is You Better You Bet by Robbie Gill. And we are Jacqueline Raposo and Ben Rosenblatt. We'll be back the same time next week right here at HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Later.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.